Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, a South Texas community partner for generations. Christus Spahn is proud to be a part of your life, caring for families and providing quality medical care to all. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, the Dr. and Mrs. Hugh A. Kennedy Foundation, and the Koch Foundation, supporting the Catholic Church and its ministries across South Texas.
Live from Corpus Christi, Texas, welcome to the Cathedral Sunday Mass, where the gospel is proclaimed and our spirit refreshed by the real presence of the living God. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Peace be with you.
Amen.
Good morning, sisters and brothers. Let us begin this Eucharist with a profound act of penance in which we not only call to mind, but we acknowledge our sinfulness. We all sin, and so let us acknowledge our sins in order to prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, author of every mercy and of all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin, look graciously on this confession of our lowliness, that we who are bowed down by our conscience may always be lifted up by your mercy. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, God delivered all these commandments. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. You shall not have other gods beside me. You shall not carve idols for yourselves in the shape of anything in the sky above, or on the earth below, or in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down before them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their father's wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation, but bestowing mercy down to the thousandth generation on the children of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. No work may be done then, either by you or your son or daughter or your male or female slave or your beast, or by the alien who lives with you. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, the sea and all that is in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that you may have a long life in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male or female slave, nor his ox or ass, nor anything else that belongs to him. The word of the Lord.
lips of the Lord aright, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just. Lord, you have the words of everlasting. They are more precious than gold, than a heap of purest gold, sweeter also than syrup, than honey from the
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, Jews and Greeks alike, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will rise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the words Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name, and when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Stop making my Father's house a market. Prior to Jesus going to Jerusalem for this event of the Passover, St. John reports that he was in Cana of Galilee, and there he attended a wedding feast, which we are all aware of, where he also performed his first miracle. And then St. John says he returned to Capernaum, which is not too far away, but he didn't stay there very long because he was to go to Jerusalem. And in the scriptures, Jerusalem was that place which would be the final place of his life, death, and resurrection. And so after Capernaum, he headed to Jerusalem for the Passover, for the high feast for the Jews. And when he entered the temple area, he found that it was filled with animals for the sacrifice and money changers. His anger was aroused by the fact of the exploitation of those who were selling animals to people who were coming from far to sacrifice an animal to Almighty God, which was their custom. And the money changers, because only certain coins could be used in the temple, were also exploiting the people by charging interest. The poor, the needy, were being exploited. Jesus' anger brought him to drive out and cleanse the temple of this exploitation and show. Those who did not belong to the temple worship were cluttering up the area that was sacred, and so he threw them out. Metaphorically for us, this is a story of Lent. It is a time for us to cleanse our own temples. It is a time for us to look at ourselves, our church, and ask, what is it that clutters and exploits our lives? What have we allowed into our lives through our minds, through our stomachs, through our passions, that clutter us up so much that God is second, that God is not first? Our bodies are temples. We've heard from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians in the 6th chapter, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own." And so each one of us, as a temple of God, must protect that life that God has given to us through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that is given to us in baptism and confirmed in our confirmations. We belong to God. We do not belong to ourselves. The temple for the Jew belonged to God, not to those who were exploiting it. And so the cleansing of the temple and this Lenten time is that time to cleanse, to take a notice of, to be aware of what we allow in so many ways to clutter our minds, to destroy the Word of God in us by other words, and so drive us farther and farther away to God, from God. Because we too are preparing for a high feast day. We too are preparing for the central mystery, without which we are not really disciples of Jesus Christ. That mystery which is called the Paschal mystery, passing from death to life. As we will celebrate in a few weeks, Holy Thursday, the memorial of that gift of God in the Paschal mystery, Good Friday, the death of Jesus, and Easter, the resurrection. Where do we begin? As we're already into Lent, but where can we pick up again this desire to cleanse our temple? Today we are presented in the book of Exodus with the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. How many of us even keep those in mind? It is the beginning of our attitudinal adjustment, we might say. It's the foundation of our moral life. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember to keep holy this day, the Sabbath. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house or goods. And you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. These commandments are fundamental for our relationship with God and with one another. They are the building block upon which we build our temple to give it to Almighty God. But Jesus brought us beyond that, not erasing, as he said, one letter of the law. But our faith is not based on the law. It is founded with its moral principles upon those commandments, but Jesus takes us to another level, that we live by the Spirit of Jesus. We live by the Spirit of God in us. And so we too are on that journey, the journey with the Holy Spirit, not to be contaminated, but to be people who can recollect from within and listen and be attentive to and respond to the voice of God in the church and within each one of us. And so perhaps as we are on this journey through Lent, as a part of our journey of life, we could ask ourselves a few questions as we move forward. What is it that clutters my personal temple? What has crept into my heart or into my mind that contaminates my love for God and my love for my neighbor? What are the false gods that I worship? What power or powers do I rely upon in life? And how have I allowed my life to become a marketplace for ideas and ideologies that speak against God? St. Paul brought that same message to the church in Corinth, made up of Jews and Greeks. And he said, "Brothers and sisters, some of you are seeking signs. You want to know signs, proof from God. And you others are looking for wisdom, for language that you can rationalize." But what does St. Paul say to them? And what do we say to each other today? We proclaim Christ crucified. A stumbling block for those who are looking for signs. Foolishness for those who want to base their faith on ideas. But to those who are called, Jews and Greeks alike, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are preparing to celebrate 3 days of the greatest mystery that will ever happen to humankind. What we call the Paschal mystery. Jesus Christ, who died for us and who rose again, and who left us a memorial of that event in the Eucharist, which we are about to celebrate. He is our strength and our wisdom. His word, as we heard in the responsorial psalm today, that your words are everlasting life. Jesus and Jesus alone can drive out the falsehoods of our life, those falsehoods that we rely upon for quick answers and easy remedies. I would like to draw our attention to another journey that is concluding right now as I speak and you listen. It is the journey of a simple man dressed in white named Francis, who is concluding at this moment a journey in a land that is far away from here, a land that we have heard so much of in the past 10 years, a notorious land for division, for extreme wealth, extreme poverty, religious division, anger, war. It is the land of Ur, the land of Abraham. And we know it today as present-day Iraq. Francis, in the name of St. John Paul II, wanted to go to Ur on a pilgrimage because there was born Abraham, our father in faith, the father of faith that obeyed God and has become the father of Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And he wanted to sit there in that place in our origins where we began with all three religions and call for peace. No politician could do that, sisters and brothers. Only a man of God. Only a woman of God can enter into difficult situations here in life and make a difference and call for peace. Only a man of God, a teenager of God, a child of God can make a difference. And it is all based on Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Abraham from Ur was called by God to leave Ur and go far away so that he could become the father of many nations, so that his one life could multiply into many. An impossible request, but Abraham obeyed beyond all odds. And then Abraham was asked to take his beloved son Jacob and sacrifice him to God. Another tragic request from God. And yet Abraham took his son and attempted to do so up to the point of the actual act when God intervened and said, "No, I can see your loving obedience." Abraham obeyed, and God rewarded him. Brothers and sisters, yes, our life is more than a pilgrimage. It's more than just existing in this world among so many ideas and ideologies, so many things that can drive us away from God that we may think is good, but it's not. If it does not conform to the Word of God, if our temple is cluttered with so many things, with so many attachments, with so much anger, with so much disappointment, then perhaps this Lent is a really special call amidst everything we're going through to cleanse our temple, to be simple men and women of faith, to respond to God with the same ardent love and faith that Abraham showed. We are preparing now, over the next few weeks, as we have been throughout Lent, to celebrate the event of our lives, that Jesus Christ suffered for us. He died for us out of obedience to his Father, and the Father raised him to new life, to life. What seems impossible is not impossible for God. What seems to be weakness is actually power and strength. We don't have to go to Ur. Our Holy Father has done that these past 3 days for us. But what we are called to is to renew that same strong faith of Abraham, to leave behind what's familiar with us, to leave behind what has become comfortable to us, to leave behind our security in those ideas and ideologies that we grasp onto, and follow one person, Jesus Christ, who died, listening to his words and putting them into life. Yes, the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. To be equipped with the Word of God, to be equipped with the example of so many men and women throughout our history, with obedience to God's faith, we will find a new strength, a new wisdom to confront our own life and our own present day situations. Lord God, you have the words of eternal life. God did not fail Abraham. God did not abandon Jesus Christ, and neither will he fail us. Let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. Confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us bring now our prayers together and offer them to Almighty God, who led the chosen people out of slavery and raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
For our Holy Father, Pope Francis, as he visits the land of Iraq and brings the message of peace and brotherhood, that we, the Church, might cleanse ourselves of all division and renew our commitment to the mission, Jesus, to be bearers of love and peace to all people. Let us pray to the Lord. For our leaders, that they might work toward the common good of all, so that those who live on the margins of society are given assistance and support. Let us pray to the Lord. For those who will be initiated into the Church this Easter, that they may always find in the love the Lord's words of everlasting life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all of us who make up this parish, that we may always keep this holy building a living temple of the risen Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That God may extend his healing hand upon those who continue to be affected by the coronavirus and bless those who minister to them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Rene Gonzalez, Frank Garza Jr., Soledad Hernandez, Jose Rolando Gonzalez, and for the special intentions of Connie Cueva, Ruby Ann Garza, and Anita Doria. And for the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts and for all our intentions, spoken and unspoken. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord our God, blessed are you. You guide us with your commandments and you comfort us when we fall. Listen to our prayers which we entrust to you. Through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived your will, not his own. We ask everything through Christ our Lord. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Be pleased, O Lord, with these sacrificial offerings, and grant that we who beseech pardon for our own sins may take care to forgive our neighbor. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you have given your children a sacred time for the renewing and purifying of their hearts, that freed from disordered affections, they may so deal with the things of this passing world as to hold rather to the things that eternally endure. And so with all the angels and saints, we praise you as without end we acclaim. To you, therefore, most merciful Father, we make humble prayer and petition through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, that you accept and bless these gifts, these offerings, these holy and unblemished sacrifices, which we offer you firstly for your Holy Catholic Church. Be pleased to grant her peace, to guard, unite, and govern her throughout the whole world, together with your servant Francis, our Pope, and me, your unworthy servant, and all those who, holding to the truth, hand on the Catholic and Apostolic faith. Remember, Lord, your servants whom we now call to mind. And all who are gathered here whose faith and devotion are known to you, for them we offer you this sacrifice of praise, or they offer it for themselves and all who are dear to them, for the redemption of their souls, in hope of health and well-being, and paying their homage to you, the eternal God, living and true. In communion with those whose memory we venerate, especially the glorious ever-Virgin Mary, Mother of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, and Blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles and martyrs, Peter and Paul, Andrew, and all the saints. We ask that through their merits and prayers, in all things, we may be defended by your protecting help. Therefore, we pray, O Lord, graciously accept this oblation of our service, that of your whole family. Order our days in your peace and command that we be delivered from eternal damnation and counted among the flock of those you have chosen. Be pleased, O God, we pray, to bless, acknowledge, and approve this offering in every aspect, in every respect. Make it spiritual and acceptable so that it may become for us the body and blood of your most beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. On the day before he suffered, he took bread in his holy and venerable hands, and with eyes raised to heaven to you, O God, his almighty Father, giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took this precious chalice in his holy and venerable hands, and once more giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the blessed Passion, the resurrection from the dead, and the glorious ascension into heaven of Christ, your Son, our Lord, we, your servants and your holy people, offer to you, to your glorious majesty, from the gifts you have given us, this pure victim, this holy victim, this spotless victim, the holy bread of eternal life, and the chalice of everlasting salvation. Be pleased to look upon these offerings with a serene and kindly countenance, and to accept them as once you were pleased to accept the gifts of your servant Abel the just, the sacrifice of Abraham, our father in faith, and the offering of your high priest Melchizedek, a holy sacrifice, a spotless victim. In humble prayer, we ask you, Almighty God, command that these gifts be borne by the hands of your holy angels to your altar on high, in the sight of your divine majesty, so that all of us who, through this participation at the altar, receive the most holy body and blood of your Son, may be filled with every grace and heavenly blessing. Remember also, Lord, your servants who have died. They have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith, and rest in the sleep of peace. Grant them, O Lord, we pray, and all who sleep in Christ, a place of refreshment, light, and peace. To us also, your servants, who, though sinners, hope in your abundant mercies, graciously grant some share in the fellowship of your holy apostles and martyrs, with John the Baptist, Stephen, Matthias, Barnabas, and all the saints. Admit us, we beseech you, into their company, not weighing our merits, but granting us your pardon through Christ our Lord, through whom you continue to make all these good things, O Lord. You sanctify them, fill them with life, bless them, and bestow them upon us. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. From the mouth of Jesus came the prayer that he taught to each one of us. Let us pray it in such a way that it is received into the Father's heart as the words of Jesus himself. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our
Savior. Hello, I'm Father Peter Lisadro, rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Mulvey and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with His love, peace, and joy, and may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System. A part of your life, providing advanced quality care and vital services close to home and dedicated to keeping South Texas healthy and strong. More information is available at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast. If you have been blessed by our efforts and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.